COVID-19. Oh, we need a vaccine at this moment. It means everything. Please wear your mask and stay 6 feet back. Total shutdown. COVID-19.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland. Ted, this is episode 7. Can you believe it?
This is... if you'd have told me a month and a half ago we'd be on episode 7, I'd have said, we're still doing that?
If you would have told me that my head was stapled to a carpet, I would be more surprised.
I think the first question I would have asked would have been, has my wife found the podcast yet?
We already know that answer. She has.
That's true. Yes, she has.
She certainly has.
Now I'm getting.
How was your week, my friend?
Oh, the week was good. How was your week?
Good. Relaxing. Time with my children, which was great. Played some golf, which was great. Didn't really go anywhere else, to be honest with you. Not because we didn't want to, just because we, you know, kind of enjoyed the outside, taking a lot of walks right near the park, near our house. So it was wonderful. Yourself?
Yeah, we had hockey and baseball over the weekend, and the baseball, watching our two older boys play baseball on this team made me realize that I need to play catch with them more and work with them more. They're a little rough, so we worked on that a little bit, and my older son tried a new, oldest son, I guess I should say, when there's three of them, tried a new glove and seemed to do a little better. So yeah. And of course we got, it was interesting on Sunday morning, you know, with COVID, my oldest son found out what Facebook Messenger for kids is.
Yes. My kids have that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he has, you know, he's found some friends from school and friends of friends and things like that. And so at about 7:50 on Sunday morning, I'm still asleep or trying to enjoy the last few minutes of that. And my son, where's the iPad? My friend called. I need the iPad. I'm like, it's 7:50. And of course, so being the good husband that I am, my wife is in the shower at the moment. And the door on the shower, the door on the bathroom doesn't lock. So she hollers, hey, I'm in the shower. Can you close the door? So I don't really want to be on Facebook Messenger video in the shower. Understandable.
Yeah, that's not what you're looking for.
No.
Yeah.
No. So I closed the bathroom door. And then she came up from behind the shower curtain and she said, no. With you on the other side of the door. And I said, you weren't specific on that.
You weren't specific enough. No. I confessed. Yeah. That is
right. So that, so we got to, you know, just need to be specific. She asked me to close the door, close the door.
Well, we are men, so we do have to be direct the right way.
Right, right.
Told many times. So.
Yes.
There's no doubt. Ted, I believe it's a time where we're all excited to hear what is the latest news you can bring us.
I do have some news. We'll start in Baltimore, where police were called to a home for a complaint following an online learning session involving a fifth grader at Seneca Elementary School. The teacher in the online learning session apparently saw a gun on a wall behind one of the students and contacted the principal. Eventually, the school safety officer called police, who responded and found no problems at the home. The boy is trained in archery and owns several BB guns, which were properly secured on the wall in his room. The boy's mother was upset that police were called and got even more upset when the principal compared seeing a weapon on the wall of the boy's room in a virtual class to bringing a gun to school.
Oh, my.
Bringing a gun to school apparently is equal to having a gun on your wall in your home. The mother asked the principal if her son were in the kitchen near a butcher's block with a knife on it, would the police be called again? Because that's a weapon. The school has declined media interviews regarding this situation. There you go.
My gosh. This is where we're at.
This is where we're at.
You, very, you know, interesting story, and I think this is something we're going to hear more about as the school year starts in the fall and all that, trying to keep people safe. And, you know, people just have a extra special spidey sense, I guess, at this point in time, which in some regards I understand, but on the other side of it, gosh almighty, gotta let certain things go. I don't know. In that situation, I mean, I guess I would have I would call the parent and say, hey, what's going on? I don't know if I'd call the police.
Yeah.
That's a different situation.
I mean, but I don't know how you could equate that to bringing a gun to school. That's
two different things.
Two plus two doesn't equal four, though.
What's that? Ohio?
No, Baltimore. Thanks for listening, by the way. Baltimore. Okay. I don't know. Extra special spidey sense, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you like that?
I do. Yeah. Is that a technical term?
Of course it is.
Okay. All right. Well, there were some problems at a peaceful protest in March in New Jersey on Friday, but not problems between police and protesters. No. In this situation, three people among the roughly 1,000 in attendance were injured when a deer bolted into a group of the marchers.
Oh.
One woman was hospitalized with a head injury. She's recovering. Police working the event did provide medical attention for the injured protesters until EMS arrived.
That's not what you expect.
No. Know,
it's tough to control the deer population as it is, but in that situation, I'm not sure you could have a conversation with the deer. I will say this, and I've heard about this a little bit on a serious note, all throughout the world, just because so many people were in quarantine, the animals have run amok all over the place. You're hearing about sea turtles, the huge population with that, and in different instances, you know, I heard about in California when they opened up
Yellowstone.
How about Yellowstone? That's a good one. They were having trouble with the animals attacking people in the cars because there were so many days of those, you know, of people not being there that they were so accustomed to having the land themselves. It's going to be a serious issue as we move forward.
Yeah, be interesting to see how that gets handled.
Yellowstone. That's tough to remember, isn't it? Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Wasn't Yogi Bear at Jellystone?
Jellystone, yeah.
Jellystone, correct. Yeah. It's a different place.
Boo Boo and Cindy, too.
There you go. Yeah, that's dumb. All right, well, Germany, police had little trouble catching a man accused of stealing about $6 worth of stuff. The man took off when he triggered an alarm at the supermarket with the items he was trying to leave without paying for. Unfortunately for him, he left his 8-year-old son behind and was quickly identified. The man also fell during his attempted escape and ended up in the hospital.
Oh, $6.
$6.
$6.
Left his kid. $6.
Wow, that's
yep.
Gus, you have to do what you have to do. Similar to the people that I saw in Chicago that decided to hijack a train that was full of televisions. And so they hijacked the train and started ripping them off. I saw that earlier this morning.
Mm.
Fun
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Well, so far in 2020, we've had COVID-19, murder hornets, violent civil demonstrations, and as if that isn't enough, Armageddon might be around the corner. A scientist has tweeted that the previous end of the world, according to the Mayan calendar, was supposed to be December 21st of 2012. That obviously did not happen. But that date was according to the Gregorian interpretation of the calendar. That's the one that we currently follow that has us in 2020. If we use the Julian calendar, we're technically in 2012 now, and the end of the world could be next week.
Next week.
Next week. This could
be
it. Episode 7, we're done.
Could be all over. Operation Shutdown, like Michael Jackson's last concert tour. This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
You thought the COVID quarantine was too much? It could just all end.
Wow. Okay, well, all I can say is we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. I'm Ted Klopp, and that's news to me.
Ted, thank you for that wonderful rendition of the news. We appreciate the information. One thing that I know has been difficult for many people during this time is I'm thinking of all the single folks out there that are trying to meet their soulmate. And during this time, during COVID, this would certainly be a difficult thing to do. You have dating apps and things like that, but the opportunity to meet face-to-face, I would think would be a little bit difficult.
I would agree. My wife mentioned to me one of the high-quality programs that she watches on a regular basis, 90 Day Fiancé. Oh. They have a version of it, 90 Day Fiancé Quarantine or something like that. She told me that some of them went on virtual dates on Zoom, had a date, and they were dancing. And, you know, I don't know how you would dance on Zoom, but they, I guess people are doing the best they can. I don't know. It's, wow. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the worst dating story that I have from when I, you know, that's just a couple of years ago, like 15. I mean, I've been married for going on 12 now, but. I remember I had broken up with the girl I had been dating. I got on, I think I got on eHarmony and ran through their thing that's supposed to take several days. And this girl was communicating with me. And so we ran through that in like a day and had a date scheduled the next day, showed up for dinner, and they, you know, they said, here's the buzzer, we'll buzz you. And we were at a shopping area, and said, oh, well, why don't we go down to the bookstore? So we walked down to the bookstore, and she says, so what kind of books do you like? Do you like these books? How about these books? Do you want to look over here? How about fiction? Do you like magazines? What kind of magazines do you like? She didn't come up for air. I had this
like
date. What's that?
Like an auctioneer.
We sat down. This date was over in less than an hour, including the walk to the car and the obligatory handshake.
Oh, wow.
And I was back together with the girl I had been dating within 45 minutes. So that's how good that date
went. You guys broke up. You went on this date. Didn't work.
Yep.
You went back to the original gal you were hanging out with.
The grass that's isn't always greener on the other side.
I understand.
Yep. What about you?
We can take an entire podcast with some of the dating experiences that I had after I was divorced.
I think we should at some point, but
I think we could do that. I would say I'll go with one, which is the first one I had. So mm-hmm. I obviously waited a long time before I decided to date, just trying to figure everything out with myself and all that. So finally I decide I'm going to date. I'll go on a dating app. At the time, I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So there was a free dating app called Plenty of Fish. Okay, now, so I go on here.
Is this under the philosophy of you get what you pay for?
I would say that's probably correct. Yes, okay. Match is okay. A little bit higher level, but Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
Discount, I guess, is the word. Discount.
Okay.
So I go on there and talk to a young lady. We exchange messages, I would say, probably for like a week. Mm-hmm. So like, hey, let's decide, you know, do you want to meet? And so I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, first date with someone and all that. So we show up, go to a place in North Olmsted. I walk through the door. I don't see her. Don't see her at all. Text her. I said, hey, I'm here. I'm just trying to find you. Oh, I think you walked by me. Oh, okay. I will say that she did not look like her pictures.
Okay.
No problem. That's, you know, that happens. You know, not an issue. I'm here to just, you know, enjoy the evening and all that stuff. So we're going to sit down.
Okay. So
she orders. She gets a steak. I think I got like a chicken or something like that. So we start eating. And I noticed throughout the meal, this went on for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Every time she would talk, she put her hand over her mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, when she would laugh or anything or talk. And I'm like, wow, this is different. But I mean, my heart was in the right place. And I'm like, you know, I'm just here to meet somebody, try to date again, blah, 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 blah. And so I had a really funny zinger. I don't remember what I said.
Oh, no.
And during this time, she removes her hand and forgets to put her hand over her mouth. Just speaking honestly, she was missing 5 teeth on the top and 5 teeth on the bottom.
Wow.
And so it was...
Go ahead.
Question?
No. Well, I was going to say, did the picture on the website, could you see your teeth on the picture?
Well, I realized when I went back to the website, when she would smile, she would never have her mouth open.
Okay.
So there could be reasons for that.
Okay.
So I continue with this, and I mean, I know, obviously, you know, was being respectful and all that, but all throughout the meal, I was trying to figure out, how is this woman eating the steak? I mean, there's no way she's eating it from the front of her mouth. It's got to be in the back.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is impressive. So night ends, you know, I obviously am a gentleman, walk her to the car. She wanted to, you know, have a kiss and stuff. I said, hey, listen, you know, I'll give you a hug. This was great. I really appreciate it, but I'm just not, I'm not, I don't think I'm ready for something like this and all that stuff. So step away. And she calls me later on and goes through this whole gamut of, you know, do you not like me? What is wrong? Blah, blah, blah. I said, no, it's, you know, nothing to do with any of that. I just, you know, I was meeting somebody for the first time and I'm just trying to figure this whole thing out and all that. And I didn't have the heart to tell her, you're missing 10 teeth. Didn't want to do that. I thought that was kind of rude. So try to do the Christian thing and just kind of refrain and go from there. So that was one of many of the dating stories that I have. And as we continue with our podcast, I imagine I could bring some more to the table.
So I'm going to mark this down. First requirement for Ken Dworznik's future fiance wife, full set of teeth.
That would help.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I got that down. So all right.
For all those single guys that are on Match or anything, if the person that you're looking at does not, if smiles and doesn't open their mouth, you know why.
Yeah. All right. That's, well, that's, that is a pro tip. All right. Well, that's a heck of a story. Now, I did do some research. As you know, this is a highly researched program. So I took the time. I wanted to share with our listeners, I found some COVID pickup lines.
Oh, outstanding. Okay.
So I have these. And we'll run through these, see if any of these are going to, you know, see where any of these get us. So, here we go. Since all the public libraries are closed, I'm checking out you instead. My wife laughed at that one in the background. I don't know, probably couldn't hear that. She's far away, but she laughed.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's kind of like the peanut gallery here.
Yeah.
You smell so good. Is that Purell you're wearing?
Oh, my gosh. Classic.
Hey, you can't spell virus without you and I.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
What if I told you I have 60 rolls of ultra soft toilet paper?
That's really good. Classic. That is classic.
Are you COVID-19? Because if I had you near me, I wouldn't leave the house for 2 weeks straight.
Wow. Wow. I'm kind of glad that I'm engaged now, because if I use these lines, I wouldn't be engaged now. Leave it at that.
Okay. Here we got another one. That mask brings out the beauty in your eyes. Is this thing on? Hello. Okay.
Oh boy.
You can't spell quarantine without URAQT.
Oh my. That is wow.
Now.
Okay.
We got the big finish here. You ready for this one?
I am.
Here we go.
Sitting down and ready.
Big finish. I've got a great stimulus package to give you.
Oh, gosh. Well, that is, I'm speechless right now. I really don't know what to say.
All right, well, we'll try to continue with the show here.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah,
blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Let's talk with Brad Cavey. Brad is the head golf professional at the Greg Jones Golf Academy in Medina. We decided to have Brad on to talk a little bit about a pastime that possibly with COVID and people trying to find things to do outside might be gaining some interest. Obviously, golf, a way to get outside and not too hard to practice social distance. I guess let's start there. Brad, is that right? Golf is a game that kind of can lend itself to, if you want to practice social distance, you can do that?
100% for sure. And we've been telling people this the whole time when this stuff really started to happen. And we had people going away from us momentarily because of the scare. And we're like, just think about activities. This is about the best activity, even with no issues in the world, for social distancing. As things progressed, what we saw then was a little bit of an increase in interest in the game of golf, because my kids are, this sport's been canceled, that sport's been canceled. So we want to do something, something different. And we don't want to sit around at home. Hey, let's pick up the game of golf. Adults have been the same way. I just want to get out and do something.
Brad, I know you've been around the game of golf for your entire life. You grew up in the Medina area, went to Findlay. Ted and I won't hold that against you at all, to be honest with you. You were involved with the Medina Country Club. How did you get involved to be instructor at Greg Jones? And talk about the type of instructor that you are.
Well, Greg and I met, I guess, you know, through the business. So, you know, with him being out at the Golf Improvement Center, he was looking for a home, and we ended up bringing him out to Medina last year. And, you know, we just kind of meshed, and things fit real well. The Academy was still looking for a stable home, and Fox Meadows been able to provide that. And the residents around here, the members around here have been great, and it's been great for the staff. It's been Todd out here, the head professional, it's been good for him because it's exposed people to teaching.
All right, Brad. So, I am happy to admit that my, golf game is non-existent.
I like the cough. There we go.
I probably abused some clubs a few years ago, and more recently, the putt-putt green is, and I don't say the putting green, the putt-putt
yeah,
green
right.
is where you'd find me. So if yeah, I decide, you know, golf, I want to get outside, I want to pick up the game, do I need my own clubs? How do I get started? What's a good place to start, and how much money should I expect to have to invest initially to enjoy the game of golf?
No, you don't need your own clubs. I guess the COVID-19 answer is yes, you do need your own clubs.
Sure.
But we could still sanitize clubs so that they're clean and safe. You really, when you're getting going, you don't want to invest a lot of money. No way. Because you don't know if you're going to like this thing, hate this thing. So I tell people, you can get some good used clubs online. You might find somebody that you know, like Kenny, for instance. Kenny might have some clubs that he's not hitting and say, hey, can I just borrow some to get started? Let me try to figure this thing out.
I heard Ken's putter doesn't get a lot of use because he rarely hits the green. I don't know if that's true or not.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, well, working with his son, I think his son could probably help him out then.
Okay.
So, because I think he'll be all right. Kenny will get there. But, yeah, you don't need to get something super expensive. A few $100, you can probably get something that is going to get you set up in the right direction for just starting out.
So, with my game, I feel, you know, pretty good driving, and my middle part of my game isn't exactly great. My putting is okay, and my pitching is okay, so – I would say I am probably below average golfer is where I would say it. When you're working with somebody or anything like that, and it's kind of going back to the question that Ted just asked, if you're new to the game of golf, what particular part of the game would you work on first before anything else?
Well, everybody wants to hit the driver. Everybody yeah. wants to hit the big dog. And I think you just have to have, when I start out with people, I'll be starting out with a 9-iron. And if you can get those movements down with a 9-iron, especially in a little half swing component, you've got to be able to feel what a good shot feels like. So if we're taking big swings, you're never going to get that feeling of what a good shot really is. The other thing that I started doing this year is let's think other sports, every other sport. You're going to, and I don't care if you're a kid or it's a professional sport. You start out, you have practice. So practice, it would be like coming to the driving range, maybe working with an instructor. Then what do you have? You have scrimmages. Then you go out and you have a game. Well, for whatever reason in golf, we have practices so you can take lessons And then it's like, okay, just go play. So this year, what I've incorporated a lot more for men, women, just a group of ladies, good golfers, is on course instruction, on course coaching sessions, where how do I hit this downhill lie? How do I hit the side hill lie? What's the ball going to do? How do I advance out of and around trees?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Brad, if people want to get involved in golf, they want to sign up for a lesson or a class from you, or learn more about the Greg Jones Golf Academy, how do they do that?
They can always go to check us out on Facebook, social media. We've got that, Greg Jones Golf Academy. The website's gregjonesgolfacademy.com. You know, we teach 7 days a week. Doesn't matter what time, it fits into the person's schedule. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a Sunday, Tuesday, Friday. Heck, I've started lessons at 7:45 in the morning and 7:45 at night.
Hey, Brad, last question. Greatest golf movie ever?
Oh, it's got to be Caddyshack.
There you go. Okay.
It's got to be Caddyshack.
Sure. I wanted to get a golf perspective on that.
Amen, right, brother. Always. Well, I appreciate your time, guys. Thanks so much for, one, doing this. This is, I think, definitely needed in the world that's we live in right now and going on. Give people some outlet to listen to you guys. And looking at Kenny, definitely glad they're looking at or listening to this, not looking at it. And I appreciate
Thank you, Brad.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brad. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Brad.
Good. Thank you. Be safe. Woo. Woo.
All right, time for another game. I had a game last week. I got another one for you this week, Ken. We've got, you heard the owls there. We've got Who Am I Cleveland? It's a Cleveland Good. Version of Who Am I? So this is someone that has some relation to Cleveland.
Outstanding.
All right?
Outstanding.
Now, for the first, this is the first time we're doing this, so I figured give you a good chance at this. This is a sports figure. Sports figure, all right?
Got it.
Okay. I have five clues here. So,
okay.
Here we go. I am a former Cleveland Indian.
Former Cleveland Indian.
Okay. I played for the Indians from 1994 to 1996.
Okay.
The Indians are one of six major league teams I played for.
Okay.
I am a four-time Gold Glove winner.
Okay.
I may not be known for my offense, but one of my hits gave the Indians their first postseason win in 41 years. Who am I?
Okay. So we're looking at a former Cleveland Indian. He played for six different teams, you said.
Yep.
He played from 94 to 96.
With the Indians.
With the Indians. He won four Gold Gloves. I have a basic idea.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that I don't think it's an outfielder. I think it's an infielder.
Okay.
And I think I have a guy who had probably one of the biggest hits ever in his career. And I believe before he played for the Indians, he was running around for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm.
I'm going to go with the guess.
All right.
Of Tony Fernandez.
Mm. Tony Fernandez.
That is my guess.
Final answer?
I believe I'm going to go with the final, yes.
Final answer. I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Incorrect. You
incorrect.
Lose.
You got the you correct nothing. First name. Got the correct first name.
Okay.
I'll give you another clue. Let's see if you get it now.
Oh, I think I do now. Go ahead. Go with the clue.
He played catcher.
Yep. Another Tony. It'd be Tony Pena.
Tony Pena. Do you
know
the
big
hit?
Homer against I believe it was Boston. If I
That's right. The 13th inning of game one of the American League Division Series, 1995. 13th inning, a solo home run that gave the Indians the win in that game, and they ultimately went on to, I believe, sweep the Red Sox.
Yes, they did.
My gosh, that's 25 years ago this year.
Time is flying by.
Holy cow.
I remember that besides him hitting that homer, when he would work with pitchers, and obviously every pitcher has a specific catcher to work with and all that stuff, when he was angry at the pitcher, he would throw the ball faster and harder back to the pitcher than they threw it to him. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
He would fire it back to him.
He would. It was just classic. Oh, wow. Good game, Ted.
Nonverbal way to say, hit the strike zone.
That was that's exactly right. Great game.
All right. Who am I? There we go. Tony Pena.
Ted, that time has come. Time for us to say goodbye for another episode. But as we say, Ted, as always,
we're just two middle-aged men in Cleveland.